All the madness, the horrors, the absolute insanity. How could you have unleashed something so vile and disturbing? It's the Jason Wilkins Factory Podcast.
Okay, we're on. Okay, we're episode number 4 of the Jason Wilkins Factory Podcast. And today we have Alex Old. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to meet you. Never met. So you're from Kingston.
Yeah.
And Nick, behind the wheel over there, reached out because he liked your stuff. And so actually this morning, I luckily already on my way in. And Nick's like, hey, we have like back-to-back podcast because we have someone else after you. I'm like, holy fuck. So like, raced in, and I think it's an awesome way to do it. Like, I've never met you before. I have a friend coming in later that we've known each other forever, so it's yeah. Really cool to kind of mix it up. And
good, yeah, happy to be here. So
thanks. So we'll just kick it off, and you just kind of tell me about yourself. We chatted a little bit before, and I already love the story. So go ahead.
Yeah. So like, I guess you mean talking about my art journey.
Yes.
So back in 2020, I was actually a civil engineer technologist, and my project was coming to an end, and I was going to have to move to a different city. I was going to have to move to Ottawa, and you know, I considered the option. I got to move for my job. I was prepared for that. That's what you do in engineering. You move where the work is, and I just was in the office a lot and not in the field anymore, and I just felt so trapped. I felt very much trapped in my job. And I felt like I wasn't happy doing what I was doing. And something just didn't, you know, like that typical saying, like putting a square peg in a round hole. I felt like I'd been doing that my whole life.
Right.
And it took me up until I was, 3 years ago, I guess 2 years ago. But it took me that long to figure that out. And then I was actually watching a random clip of Jim Carrey. I think it was in a commencement speech or something.
Man. That's a good one.
But he had a quote about his dad, how he was a musician, and he had the option to go play music in the States, and he chose not to because he had a family. And so he became an accountant and ended up losing his job when he was in mid-50s. And so Jim Carrey was saying, like, that in that time, I realized that, like, you can fail at what you don't love, so you might as well fail at what you do love.
Yep.
And that really spoke to me, and it just... You know, I panicked. I was panicking. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And I thought, like, you know what? I think maybe I'm an artist. And so I quit my job to explore being, you know, what it's like to be an artist. And so I spent the next couple months trying to figure out what kind of artist I was. And then in May, June of that year, 2020, I took an online course about painting. So it was just kind of showing you, like, how you come up with your idea, how you gesso a canvas, how you paint, you know, like from one corner to the other, you paint the background first. It was just very basic. And I was actually very disappointed with the course because I just felt like I had no feedback. And
you're like, I already know how to do that.
And it was just, yeah, like, I didn't feel like it got me anything, but it got me a finished painting and it didn't take me very long. And I was like, wow, I did this. And ever since then, I've just been painting and illustrating nonstop.
That's like wicked.
And I just didn't even know I could do any of this stuff because the thing is that when you're in a space where you're unhappy, it's hard to get your mind out of it and think about other things. But when you're not in it anymore, it just opens up your mind to receiving whatever, you know, the universe is going to give to you.
That's so true.
When you're stressed out, you can't think about anything else but being stressed.
It's really well said too. By the way, that's one of probably my favorite quote is his commencement. He was honored at a university, I think.
Yeah.
And he said that his dad was such a funny guy that he could have been a comedian, or maybe it was music. I can't remember what it was, but either way, yeah, he took the safe route. Well, guess what? Really, there's no safe route. Yeah. I mean, you might as well give it a shot. Right. And you know, that's incredible. How old are you?
I'm 34 now.
Yeah. So
still young.
You're still a young guy. So when you were a kid, did you ever gravitate towards the arts at all?
Not really. No. Like, I mean, I've always been a builder. I like making things. That's the only thing. Like, I'm a creative person. I have crazy ideas. you know, it shows in my work, like very surreal. And
That's what it takes. You gotta be a little crazy.
But I've never really, I was creative in a sense that I'd like to make things, but play Lego like any typical kid.
So to walk me through your work experience.
Well, like I have 2 degrees. I have a university degree, environmental biology, bachelor of science. And I worked as environmental coordinator. And then, you know, I was unhappy doing that because I was working for a company in the oil sands, which I just didn't feel lined up with my values. And so I left that job and went back to school. Went back to school to be an engineer. And so I did lots of different summer jobs, where, you know, lots of manual labor jobs, tying rebar cages. You know, I even worked at an aerial park, you know, like the obstacle course in the trees. I even did a job like that. Yeah. Worked as bag boy. I worked as all these different kinds of jobs.
Yeah.
And nothing really spoke to me except for just like the movement part of it. You know, like working with my hands is always something that like satisfies me.
Yeah.
It's such a nice calming feeling. And so making things also gives me that same feeling.
That's
You know, it's nice when you have an idea and you can manifest it. And now you have a physical object that you say, like, I made this. Mm-hmm. And you can be proud of it. And so, like, that's the only thing I found in all the jobs I've ever done was the physical movement part of it was the only part that I actually liked.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's rare that I hear... It's freaking awesome, by the way. Like, it's so rare that I hear that. Usually I hear... Because I've always wanted to be an artist, but I got off track so many times that I was a little bit late to the game getting to where I am. Totally fine. But I've always known what I wanted to do, but I did like shitty jobs and stuff. But to hear, like, you just were like, I think there's an artist in me. I got to bring it out.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
That's amazing.
I didn't even know. That's the thing. It's almost like I've been lying to myself my whole life. I like, even in university, I did an English class on comic books. So like graphic novels, like we pulled apart like Watchmen and all these like very intense, moody graphic novels and like pulled out all the meaning of them. And anyways, and the final project was we got to make our own comic book. And so I spent like a solid week illustrating and creating my own comic book. And I thought it was so much fun. It actually came out with like a pretty good product too.
Yeah.
And that was in 2011, 2012. And even then I didn't even think about it.
Right.
I was just like, this is just an assignment to me.
Yeah.
And I went back to work, went and got a job. And then I never even considered any of that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. It's almost like I got hit over the head or something. And then, you know, like you ever heard people, they're in a coma and then they wake up with a British accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Doc Brown hits his head. He's like, the flux capacitor.
Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. You know?
Wow.
When I make a piece of art sometimes, and I'm impressed with myself. I'm like, how did I make this?
Yeah.
This makes no sense to me.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So is it becoming like a full-time thing, or what else are you doing?
This is the only thing I'm focused on right now.
That's it.
Yeah. And I was fortunate enough. I've worked long enough, you know, that I was able to put money away, and, you know, I'm very used to living off a college, you know, a college student way of life. You know, I don't have a lot of needs or wants. I have everything I need.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have luxury cars or, you know, go out to 5-star restaurants all the time because that's not important to me.
Yeah.
Like, money is not very important to me. It's not like the overall goal. Yeah, of course I need to make it. But my goal about what I'm doing now is I want to make money so I can make more art.
See, that's also a rare position for someone your age to be in because, like, when I left art school, I had friends who would just go and, you know, work odd jobs. But when you're that young, you don't need the money, right? Like, you don't have obligations like you do when you're older. So that's incredible, super smart, because now you can focus on what it is you want to do, which is, again, really rare. And then you can put all your energy in that, right? And that's when things start to line up.
But also very stressful because I have all my eggs in one basket.
Right.
You know, when, like, especially as an artist, money comes and goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might make quite a bit of money one month and then next month you make nothing.
Yep.
And so there's always that stress of the financial security there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is even though I have that stress, there's nothing else I want to do.
Yeah.
There's, to me, doing this is the only option in my life now.
Yeah.
I want nothing else but to be an artist and continue what I'm doing because I know I'm making progress.
Yeah.
And I see it in myself all the time. I'm always pushing myself to be better and try new things and improve on my craft. And like if I compare myself just to a year ago, you know, like the things that took me forever to do a year ago, they don't take me any time anymore because I've worked, I've honed my skills, you know?
Yeah.
I've taken the things, I'm very good at figuring out what I'm good at and focusing on that and forgetting about the stuff I'm not good at. Mm-hmm. Like I can't do portraiture, like fine art painting, and I've tried it and it just doesn't appeal to me. And so I know I'm not good at it. So why would I waste my time trying to make myself good at a thing that I probably won't ever be good at and focus on like these things that I'm super good at.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm can't think of the word, but emphasize it. So you can hide your mistakes with the extra good stuff.
Yes. Well, good for you, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of artists out there. I did it forever where you try to emulate somebody else because you're like, oh, this will hit and this will make me cool. This will make me popular. This will make me money. Right.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until like I decided, okay, like, you know, it's almost like you're fed up at a certain point. You're like, enough trying to do all these other things that don't fit who you are to begin with.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you just all in on what comes natural, and then you progress from there. So all my stuff has kind of evolved from one place, right? But
where's that? What do you mean?
Well, like I started doing caricature cartoon right out of art school, and then it evolved from that to mural work, to corporate event stuff, to, you know, you name it. It's opened all kinds of these other doors. Mm. When you're open to evolving yourself, right? And we chatted again a little bit before the podcast. We were saying like some people are afraid to experiment or dive in or see what sticks. Yeah. Like they get pigeonholed into one thing. It's not to say that's not right for some people. Like say you're an incredible landscape artist and that's what you love and you know that and that's it. Well, hey, like that's your thing. But I think there's always room to like, what if I like tweaked it like this way, or what if I tried it a little bit different this way, or a brush stroke looked a little bit different over here. Like growth within the arts, like, yeah.
It's difficult to explore though. Like I find myself, I'm very intentional with the artwork that I do.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all my artwork starts off as a digital illustration. Mm-hmm. That's all. So every print I have is like, that's my blueprint for my paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And so like my whole thing is that my paintings, you can't tell that they're not printed on canvas.
Mm-hmm.
There's no brush strokes. There's no, it's all very clean,
mm-hmm.
But there's very little room for me to experiment directly on the canvas and try different ways. 'Cause I'm very like, oh, you know, I don't want to waste a canvas.
Right.
And so like, even me, I struggle with like trying new things.
Yeah.
So I try to do them digitally, because mm-hmm. you can have fun and scribble on your iPad all day.
But I would even say like you just quitting your job and diving into arts, that's probably the ultimate of trying new things.
Yeah, I get it. I know. I forget that I did that though, but
like I would say what you've done so far is okay. Just almost like just let that ride for a bit.
Yeah.
Where I work digitally too, so I get that. Like it's, and then I worked on canvas and I go back and forth. So I get bored, so I like to try all these new things. But yes, for you who, you know, you were in that field for so long and then to jump out and you're like, I respect that so much. And it's rare. It's so rare because people sleepwalk and they get stuck. Yeah. Right. And before you know it, you're 50 and you're like, oh my God, like what happened? Like what have I done? That's my worst fear. It always has been. So taking the risk is like, there's no real other option unless you want to be complacent and find yourself at 70 and, you know, regretting what you've been through. Right.
I'm also not tied down by anything. That's the thing. It's just like, I don't own a home. I don't have kids. I don't have any real crazy expenses.
Right.
And so like, fine, when you're working a job for 10 years and then, well, you buy your house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You're kind of stuck in that job.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to take a big risk and find another better paying job.
Mm-hmm.
most people don't want to because there's too much hanging.
You're right.
Like, there's too much responsibility.
So for those people,
yeah,
I get that. It's not as easy as, I'm just going to jump out of my job that supports my entire family. I get that. Yeah. But I've always stressed to people, if you can, like, try these things when you're home, when you get home. Or I know people are tired, but if you want something bad enough, you got to at least try to make it something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, yeah, you can't just pick up and leave your job. I understand that. That's for sure.
But yeah, it's even just, even if you're just working your entire life and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll get to it when I retire. I'll get to it. I'll play golf when I retire. I'll play golf.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my dad worked 37 years and retired, and now he's going to have back surgery soon. And so he's like, he can't do much. So it's like, you gave your entire life to your career, and now you have now you can't really enjoy all the money you made.
Yeah. What did he do? Obviously,
something. He was an engineer.
So, oh, he was an engineer. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Like, working your entire life. If you say it out loud, it's crazy. Like, if you work your entire life and you don't do something you want to do, and then you wait to retire to enjoy your life, like, it's just so backwards. The way society has framed things is just so incredibly backwards. And again, it's not a quick fix. Like, you can't just jump out of something that you've built. Even like, say you've worked your way up in a career, it's a hard one to just leave.
Yeah.
So the fact that you did is,
well, I just didn't care about it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't.
So it was easy.
There's no love in it. I didn't.
Yeah.
There's no passion. It was just a job.
Yeah.
You know, like, some people dedicate themselves to the company, and that's not me.
Yeah.
I dedicate myself to the things I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I do things the way I want to do it. And when you work for somebody else, you can't do it that way.
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there. I worked 10 years in a kind of a corporate setting and out of art school. And, They're good at brainwashing, I gotta tell you, because you feel like you belong after a while. Like, oh yeah, this is, you know, I'm good here. I could settle in here for a while, and I did for 10 years, right?
Well, I mean, even then, because you're making money,
sure,
doing something you went to school for that you kind of enjoy.
Yeah, but I didn't. I went into a corporate environment, into vehicle collections.
Oh, okay.
So, it made no sense.
Unrelated.
It was like so. I kind of did what you did. I up and left. Like, just picked up and left.
Yeah.
And because I, probably similar to you, I had to. Like, you felt like there's just no other option at that point.
Yeah.
So where do you see this kind of heading? Like, we'll show some of your stuff. Nick will pull it up here soon, which is really cool. Ultimately, do you have sort of a trajectory? Like, oh, in 5 years, this is kind of where I want to be. Or are you just kind of taking it as it goes?
I'm taking it as it goes because this is all very new to me.
Yeah.
And this is a very new dream to me at the same time. You know, like, I can't say that, oh, I've dreamt about this my entire life, you know?
What, like, does that do to you in the morning? Like, when you wake up, it must be entirely different than when you woke up before. You're like, oh, I got to go to work. And like,
yeah, I don't have any trouble getting out of bed anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't have trouble before. Like, I've never been a snoozer, but.
Right.
But yeah, like, now it's like, I get up and it's like, I get to choose what I do with my day, which can be a little overwhelming sometimes because if I don't work, well, then I'm not getting closer towards my dream.
Yeah.
So taking time off is a little harder for me, I find, because it's just, I should be working, you know, I'm just spending money now. And so that's always a stress, but I'm choosing my future. That's what's something that's kind of a relief to me.
Yeah.
Because if I put hard work in and make the right decisions, it falls on me. Like, it's up. Yeah. It's all on me that I got to where I am.
That's the best mindset right there. Because when I started going out on my own, I've tried a couple times, but earlier on, I got really complacent. Like, I'd get up and be like, you know, like, I just want, you know, I'm cool. I'll have a cup of coffee and sit here, and you waste an hour and a half, and then. You know, that's a good chunk of your day, especially when you have kids and you got to pick them up. Like, before you know it, you're like, I just wasted an entire day.
Yeah, so that happens often, though. I mean,
you can't escape it. I kind of think, like, you know, some days, I get it. If you need a break. But yeah, I'm pretty regimented now because I have to. But Yeah, it's easy to let that slide. You have to have the discipline if you're going to choose to do what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, you already have to be in that mindset of work, right?
It's consistency. Consistency is what matters the most, but consistency is the hardest thing to create.
It is.
It's like if you want to create a workout regime,
mm-hmm.
it's not the workout, it's the consistency. You have to show up every day and you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest part. Creating a routine is the hard part.
Yeah. And you take motivation out of that equation because, like, some days you're just not going to be motivated.
Yeah.
You just have to know that you have to get up and do it.
Yeah.
You have to take emotion and motivation out of it.
Yeah.
It has to
There's a quote by the podcaster Rich Roll,
mm-hmm.
which he says, motion before emotion.
So right.
In the first thing in the morning, you get up and you do some kind of motion. You do exercise or whatever. And before you have a chance to not want to do it.
Yes.
And so, like, you have to act quick when you're,
yep.
otherwise you let, you know, things just pile up on you and then,
mm.
It's like when you sit on the couch, well, now you're kind of lost your battle.
Yeah. Especially when you first wake up and all the stuff runs through your head of what you have to do during the day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, workouts become the last thing on your mind.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't mean like workouts in general, I just meant the overall arching idea, right?
No. Yeah.
It's just, you need to start the thing you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do. The starting is the hard part.
Yeah. No, I mean the workout thing hits home for me because I have to do that too. Like, I'm not good in the morning. Yeah. But I have to set myself up for it in the beginning of the day, being like, this is what the day is going to look like, and I have to make sure it's in there.
Yeah.
Or else it just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
So
if you don't plan for it, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you don't plan to do anything, get anything done, you're not going to get anything done.
So why don't we, exactly. So why don't we show some of your stuff?
Is that? Is there any specific ones you'd like? I don't know. I mean.
Anything on here? I mean, they're all cool. Like,
well, you can show the train one there on the left. So, like, this is one of my favorite pieces. It's called Playing Train. It's 30 by 36 inches.
Oh, that's great.
And to me, it's like, because I applied to do the Toronto Outdoor Art Fair, which is like this huge art event. And anyway, I applied 2 years in a row. First year, like, I'm kind of... I believe a lot of myself, my abilities, that the first year I didn't get in, I was disappointed that I didn't get in because I believed that I would get in.
Again, but another key point, by the way,
yeah.
belief that you can do something. Yeah. That's that's probably more, you know what? You almost have to be naive.
Yeah, I am naive.
I've always been naive that way. I'm like, oh, well, of course it'll happen.
Yeah,
like,
but I get so excited about stuff. I get so excited about stuff that I can make myself believe anything.
That's amazing.
So, like, you know, I willed myself into doing this. Anyways, but this is one of my, so I originally considered doing like a whole, because you needed a theme for it, and I wanted to do like something about childhood. And so when I was a kid, I used to play trains. I had all these train tracks. I had this huge table with all these tracks and trees and all this crap on it. And this one kind of spoke to me because it's like, it's a combination of, it's play, but it's also, it's in the real world, right? You don't know where the hand's coming from. You don't know if this is a game or is it a toy or is it actually like a huge hand or, and so for me, I just, it's interesting because it just, there's nothing else outside the canvas except for what you decide is going to be.
Yeah.
So like my artwork, there's not a lot of meaning in my art. It somehow meaning comes from it.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Same with my stuff.
So it's like people are like, oh, you know, your art really speaks and like has a lot of, you know, it's saying a lot. And I was like, what is it saying?
I always feel like a fraud sometimes because, you know, you go to an art show or something like, well, this is, you know, this flower represents, you know, the birth of, you know, my son, whatever. I don't know. And my stuff is like, it is what you see is what you get. It's more of like just my expression of my personality and, you know, exactly. There's no other way to, I'll get that, whereas like, what does this mean? I'm like, and then you feel like a total ass because you're like, I don't know. It's just, it looks good. What do you want me to say?
That's how I am. So I do a lot of markets. And so people would be like, oh, like, how did you come up with this idea? What does this mean? Just literally, because I have a painting, it's just like a guy with a cone on his head. Yeah. And it's like, no, it's just a cone head. That was it. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it's about like hiding away from society. And no, there's no meaning in it. Like, yeah, if that's
sure.
What you,
if that's you get what you that, think it is, yeah. Then that's what it is.
But that's what I mean. I like my art to just be open to whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, this is just it's just visually pleasing.
Yeah.
And that's why I painted it.
It is.
I paint what I want. Like, it's what comes to my mind, and I want to see it on canvas. That's what I paint.
But it's also, so in your previous life, was there technical drawing? Like, did you do technical drawing stuff? Or
no, nothing like
none
that.
Of that. Yeah. Because I was looking at that, and like, by the way, it'll when this goes live, it'll appear up. It'll appear somewhere in here. It'll pop up here.
Okay.
So, but when I looked at that,
sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but if you go up a bit,
yeah,
keep going up. It'll be on the left there. The one with the rabbits. We can talk about that one next.
Oh, cool. But it's technically very good. Just so
you,
like.
Oh yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
Because it balances nice because you have the cactus in the bottom right.
Yeah.
And it balances out the rest of the work.
That's what I mean. Like, so I do all these things.
So you just innately know this.
Yeah, I don't understand how.
Right.
I've done a little bit of research on, like, right. You know, the rule of thirds and,
sure.
and that kind of stuff. That's more for framing video.
But the thing is, yeah, but you can also, you can explain till you're blue in the face. I've tried, like, with class. And then, again, I come off like an idiot because I'm like, I don't know how to explain properly composition. It's hard for me. But I feel like you almost have to know it.
Yeah, but
like you can be taught. I was taught in school.
Yeah.
But you almost also have to know. You just know what looks.
Yeah, I don't.
Right.
I don't understand. That's the thing.
Right. So it's
I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't that wild, eh?
Yeah, and like my sister has always been the talented one artistically in the family.
Oh, what does she do?
She does. She went to school for industrial design.
Oh, which nice.
I've heard it means different than what I was thinking, but
yeah,
she designs like coffee shops and grocery stores and
that's cool.
Golf. Like wine tasting places and like she can create like these whole rooms on like like Autodesk's.
Oh yeah, like AutoCAD or whatever the heck
3D,
it is.
3D, like I don't know.
That may be outdated now anyway, AutoCAD.
But anyways, but the 3D modeling software, she can create like these amazing things in like days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And I'm amazed by it. And her, she's like, yeah, it's just part of my job.
Yeah.
Anyways, but she's always been the artistic one. She was always the one who could paint and draw and do all this stuff.
So what is, before we get onto this piece, what does your family think?
My parents are supportive and...
It's great.
I mean, like, I was always surprised, but, you know, I'm at an age where it doesn't matter what they say, right? Like, I'm not living at home anymore, so they can't be like, oh, you got to go to work. And
it doesn't matter, man. You'd be surprised how many people are still influenced by their family.
Yeah.
Like, it goes on forever.
I mean, it's helpful that they are supportive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they weren't, it would just create a little bit of friction, but I still want to do this.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm 34 years old now. I live on my own. Yeah. So.
See, I'm noticing you have all these things that kind of are the perfect recipe for doing what we should, what artists and entrepreneurs do. Like, opinions of others, you know, over time, it took me again a while, but no longer matters.
Yeah.
Belief in yourself, risk taking, like you have all this stuff. It's again, it's rare. It's really cool to see.
It's so, very calculated risk. That's the thing. I think because I've been in high risk jobs before.
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to problem solve on the fly and you're making big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of used to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to like make risky decisions is I don't do it like, yeah, I might get excited and like I don't make impulse decisions. They're very calculated impulse decisions.
Well, you obviously, like you said, you worked. So you do have the ability at this point to do this because you've worked for it.
Yeah.
Which is calculated, but also not everyone's out there doing that.
Yeah, I know.
Like they just want to keep making the money.
Yeah.
Right? But you self-evaluated and you kind of looked inside yourself. You're like, can't do it anymore. It's pretty cool. So what's this? This one already looks neat.
So this one is, so I like to change perspective on things quite often. And so this one is the inside of a magician's hat.
Oh, that's great.
So to me, it's inside the magician's hat, right? There's a white rabbit, and we don't know what it's like on the inside. Obviously, you know, obviously it's just a rabbit in a hat, but to me, it's more than that, right? So for a rabbit, the perspective is like, what the hell's going on? I'm being pulled out of this thing.
From another dimension.
Yeah,
or something.
And so for me, this is like there's a whole other world. Every time the guy puts his hand in the hat, it's reaching into a different universe where these rabbits exist.
Yeah.
And so now these, oh, there's three rabbits here. One's being pulled out, but the two are looking up at it like, what's going on? Like, what the hell is happening to our friend? You know,
that's great.
They're not thinking, but they're concerned and they know something's not right.
It's like the
so he's just being pulled out of their universe.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the zealots on Toy Story, where they're like in the gumball machine.
Oh yeah,
and they see the claws, yeah. Like the god, right?
Yeah,
they're like that's,
like that.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, and if you go to the next one, the yellow and green one. Yeah, this one. So this one's called Burnt Out. So this one is something. It was very much. The original idea was that I wanted to have a. Because I often do like humanoid things.
Yeah.
So this is a humanoid with a light bulb on its head. Yeah. So originally I wanted it to be like a figure going into a walk-in closet and having a bunch of different light bulbs to choose from to try on for the day.
Oh, nice.
And then it came from that to this, like being burnt out, literally burnt out. So this is a therapist's office. And so you have the patient who just has no light anymore. Right?
I love the poster above him, almost like this is what you should be.
Yeah.
Like and you should strive for this.
So it's like,
right?
Yeah. So even the characters, the clothing is just, it's grayed out. The light bulb is grayed out. But then the therapist has got like a bright yellow coat. The light bulb is warm.
Yeah.
He's got a light on.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we're, especially during pandemic, everyone's burnt out.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, I feel like mental health is just, it's something we've only been talking about for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And there's just so much stigma around it. You go to therapy, that it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I think that everybody should go to therapy.
Yeah.
Like I go to therapy and I'm happy to talk about going to therapy.
Yes.
Because I'm a way better person because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like to do this painting, it speaks to a lot of people because it's like, yeah, feeling burnt out is a shitty feeling.
Yeah. When I was a kid, there was none of that.
It was
never identified like as like a, you know, if you felt down, your parents were like, what's wrong with you? Smarten up. Like,
yeah. But yeah. So it's just, I don't know. It doesn't take me much to come up with ideas. I often just sit down and write down ideas, just like words.
So
burnt
this,
out.
This is, so I went to Sheridan for illustration. So this is what would be editorial illustration. Like this is.
What do you mean by that?
So editorial illustration is, so magazine book illustration.
Okay.
And so you're given, say the say it's for Rolling Stone, for example, and they're like, here's the how it works is they send you the article, do an illustration to depict Mick Jagger going through a hard time or whatever. So then you have to come up with a creative way to depict the story, right?
Oh, okay.
But not obvious, right? So what you've done here is exactly that. It's, you know, you're getting across a point, but it's not blatantly obvious. Like you have to kind of do the work to see, oh, okay, yeah, that's, I get that now.
Yeah. The poster was, cause I don't want people to think too much.
Yeah.
So the poster is like a little bit of like a hint, right?
No, it's great. So, yeah. It wouldn't be the same without that.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things I saw.
Yeah.
It makes total sense.
But yeah.
Right.
And I just like the perspective. I don't know. It's like you're an outsider looking in, and I actually did two versions of this. And then I put it on social media to be like, hey, which, help me out. Like, which one do you prefer?
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I don't have all the answers. And, like, so for me, this might look good, but someone be like, no, actually, the other version is more meaningful.
Yeah.
So so someone actually commented saying, yeah, I much prefer this one. And I, you know, appreciated their opinion.
That's also very cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty humble because, you know, artists tend to have, like, this chip, right? They're like, eh, I know, you know, I know what I'm doing, whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool to reach out, especially with social media now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. It's a lot of fun. Even I did a giveaway last year I did a painting giveaway. And so the whole idea was that like, hey, send me your idea. And so I picked everyone's ideas and I did three illustrations and then I had people vote on which illustration they liked best.
Yeah.
And then I painted the winner and then I gave the winner of the, who gave me the idea, I gave them the painting.
That's amazing.
And so I created this amazing painting. The idea was like mushrooms in the forest with a rabbit being abducted.
Nice.
And so it's just a rabbit in with like ferns and mushrooms, and there's just like a beam of light coming down. And so the context is kind of strange. It looks like more of a spotlight or but I wouldn't have come up with that idea otherwise. Yeah. And so it was cool for me to just include people in it and make like a crowdsourced painting.
Yeah. That's wicked. I talked to another guest previous about this, and I've been working for people for so long, like clients, right? I have trouble doing my own stuff now. Like I have trouble, like, you know.
It's kind of a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, it is, but I have trouble sitting down. So say, like, you know what? I'm going to take a break tonight and just draw. It's hard for me. I need, like client direction. Like,
yeah.
So you sourcing, that's cool.
Yeah, I just wanted some prompts. That's the thing. Like,
oh, yeah, there's, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's the other perspective. I didn't like it as much, but I did both because I wasn't sure. And then I asked people's opinion. What do you think is better?
No, the other one has way more impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So happy I did that one, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what you see is the digital illustration, and then the other one you saw was the actual painting. So it's like,
oh.
So I start, like I said, I use it as my blueprint. So I'm literally making an exact
replica
of what I drew. And that's, and then when you look at the canvas, I even encourage people to come to who are at my markets to touch it. Because you can't feel, there's no lines, there's no texture, yeah. There's nothing except for the canvas. And so people don't even believe me that it's a painting.
No, I wouldn't.
So
it looks pretty yeah, crisp. Like, yeah. The details are great.
Like, I take a lot of care and pride in every brush stroke that I take to erase the brush strokes. And it's like, you know, I'm not trying to say it's not difficult at all. Like, anybody can do what I do, but it's just the ideas that I have are not the same. Like, no one has my ideas. And, you know, I spend just as much time choosing the green color of the background as I do doing the entire drawing sometimes.
That's super important. I do the same thing. Color, like, I do a lot of layer effects. So I do, like you say, around here.
Yeah.
So I'll do color in the background. And then this is me just playing. And then I do the line work over top. But color is so important.
Yeah.
And when before I went to art school, I was so afraid of color. I didn't understand it. Oh, yeah. I always worked in pencil. I was terrified of color. Mm-hmm. And then we did color theory and I got more comfortable. But yeah, man, you got something good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just I like what I do, you know, this is fun for me. And I, you know, like to see sometimes I do an abstract painting or a strange thing that doesn't make sense, but
yeah,
I like just because I liked it.
So this looks very retro. It looks like almost like an album cover from the 80s.
That's cool, yeah.
Like it looks like I don't even know, but I can totally see that.
But this is just, when I don't know what to do, I go on my iPad and I start a new document.
Yeah.
And I just scribble. I change the brushes and I just go like, scribble, don't like it. Scribble, don't like it. Scribble. And then I'm like, actually, I really like this. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'll add a shadow to it. And then like, oh, this is really cool. I'm going to paint it. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
But then there was like 50 other of these drawings like this that don't exist as paintings because they were just scribbles to me.
Yeah.
But now it's a painting that's interesting and it uses my three favorite colors actually from a certain brand that I use.
Yeah, I just saw that but you like the color, you like the palette. Yeah.
It's like a Pyreal or a Pyroli, I don't know how you say it, but Pyroli Red.
Yeah.
And then they changed the name. It used to be called the Skin Tone.
Right.
Portrait Tone or whatever. Now it's called the Red Oxide Tint.
Okay.
But
okay, yeah.
I got in, like, and that was not that long ago that they changed the name.
Oh, really,
I thought that was very...
that's strange.
Interesting that was the name of the paint, but...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, like, I used my favorite colors, and that was, like, my only prompt, and then I just played with it, so... Yeah.
That's super
And color, cool. Like I said, you can see color is very important to me. So, but the beauty of working digitally is that I can change any color I want instantly.
Isn't it great?
And I just change the hue and I play with it. There's one illustration I did, it's probably far back, but it was, it's called Mushroom Hiker. And so it's this guy, he's lost in the woods and he's got his map. You'll see it soon, actually.
I love the super glue guy.
Yeah, that's funny. Anyways, but
it's okay, he'll look for it.
It was just it would probably be higher up actually. But it was just a guy holding a map, says on the back, it says, "Where the fuck am I?"
Yeah.
And then he's smaller than the mushrooms. So he's like completely lost on a different plane. And anyways, right. So it was just gonna be like a regular color mushrooms. There it is on the left. So it was just going to be like a red and beige mushroom.
Yeah.
And grass, green grass. And then I just changed the hues of the background just for fun, just for a second. And then I loved it so much. Like, this changes the entire thing, because now it plays on so many different levels. One, people hate being lost. And then, well, secondly, it's like he's miniature, so it doesn't make any sense. And then, well, if you look at it another way, it's psychedelic. You know, you could be literally like a mushroom trip
where you're lost, right now.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, this is one of my best sellers because it appeals to so many different kinds of people.
Yes.
So when you look at it, you could just be like, oh, this guy's lost. I hate being lost.
Yeah, right.
Or you'd be like, this guy's fucking high and he's on mushrooms. Yeah. You know, like, so it appeals to so many different people. And that's just by accident. I was just playing with it. You know?
That's great.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I don't go into a painting creating a lot of meaning. It's just like, I thought it would be funny to have a guy hiking and he's got a map. He says, where the fuck am I? And he's smaller than a mushroom. That's literally my idea.
Yes.
And then people get way more meaning out of it. And I'm like, cool, good for you. Like, I'm glad you like it.
But sometimes that's just what art is. Yeah. Like, I think people get caught too much in the meaning behind things. Art comes from people because they feel like making it. I mean, I think that's reason enough.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be any kind of crazy, like, unless you want there to be. I mean.
Yeah. Sometimes I do have paintings with meaning, but otherwise it's just. Like, it's just because I thought this would look interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just to satisfy my own curiosity. You know, like when you have a dream, you know, you're trying to explain a dream and you just can't find the words to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I feel about my painting.
Yeah.
I have a crazy idea in my head that I have no way of describing, but I'm fortunate enough that I know how to draw it.
Yeah.
I can create, manifest it. And like,
yeah.
Now I have a physical thing of an idea I had in my head. That's such a cool.
Yeah.
It's such a cool thing to have.
Yeah, see, I can often see it before I put it down. So, like, if someone says to me, I need this, this, and this in the drawing, whatever, I immediately, it's like a muscle. You build it over time, right? Yeah. So you form this vision in your head, and then it kind of just, but I remember being so frustrated when I was a kid and, like, you know, learning how to draw and just didn't connect, like, from the head down to the pen, right? There was a major disconnect. So you're like, this kid, you're like, oh, so frustrated.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, flows sometimes harder than others, but it is neat. When you think about it, how it happens, it is really cool. Like, it's not an accident. That's for sure.
Yeah, it just flows through
it
you.
It just flows.
And that's, but yeah, like you said, it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get here overnight.
Yeah.
And I also haven't been doing this my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, especially when you have a young kid who just has some proficiency in drawing, you got to, like, encourage it. Mm-hmm. You know, if a kid likes doing photography, encourage it. You know, like, I think it's also up to your parents and your friends and your family to notice things in you that you don't even notice in yourself.
I'm incredibly passionate about that. Like, you hit on probably one of my biggest things.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, like, because I always had the support. It was a non-issue. Like, when I graduated art school and then got that shitty job, my mom was like, what are you doing?
Oh, really?
You know, it was there.
That's cool.
You know, you should be doing that. So now, for me, there is this real thing happening where parents try to control what their kids are doing for a living. Like, living vicariously through these kids, right? Like, just, you should be doing this or this or this. You know, like, I'm so fed up with it. It's crazy. Like, and so it's such a missed opportunity when kids don't have a chance to at least experiment with the arts. It doesn't mean they're going to do it forever.
No,
but you
it
should
doesn't matter though. That's the thing.
It's like anything, you know, like, you know, sports, and you should try to, like, get them into things, and you never know what's going to hit.
Yeah.
Right? 'Cause you don't know what you don't know.
And they don't even have to get good at it. It's just about encouraging them to like something.
It's an outlet. If
you know,
nothing
like
else.
Playing on your phone is not something you want to be doing, like,
yeah.
You know, like, I spent a lot of my teenage years on the internet, and I created, like, a very early on at young age internet addiction.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's so easy to be on the internet other than doing other stuff.
We all are, at least.
And so
I am.
Like, I wish I had spent less time on the internet and more time exploring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would wish I'd spent less time on the internet and more time trying things.
Yeah.
At a young age.
Yeah.
Because then I think I would have discovered this.
That's
I did a lot of, like, physical sports. But yeah. I never really thought about, hey, I want to try and do drawing, or I want to take a woodworking class, yeah. or take a pottery class, or
yeah,
you know, like
you hit the nail on the head, yeah. again. Like, it is, you're sucking the life out of kids because that's what they're doing. They're just sitting and staring, and there's so much more out there. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, yeah. they're just absorbed. Everyone's just kind of absorbed into the phone, and me included. I'm not saying
exactly.
It's just the way it is.
It's designed to be addictive. That's the thing.
Sure, but when you're dealing with kids, we have the control over, you know, at a certain age anyway.
Yeah.
My daughter's 6, so we can say, hey, like, you know, half an hour before bedtime, we shut everything down. You can read, draw, whatever, right? So it is a missed opportunity. That's what I'm fearful of is, you know, it's the kids who already know, like me, who knew at a young age. I just knew. But some kids need to be exposed to it first. They don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm afraid of, that those ones are going to get missed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that's super cool. I love the colors in that.
Yeah, thanks.
So do you sell these prints through Instagram or how?
Through my website.
Through your site.
Yeah. And okay. Even like here, well, if you go up, just, oh, sorry. If you just go up a little bit.
Those are great, by the way. Those, I love
the
those.
Other ones?
The yellow series.
Oh, yeah, that was the only prompt. I want to do 12 paintings are yellow. And so I just found subjects are yellow, and it was just a fun thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, it would be farther down.
Did I see?
Just on the right there, the XO. So this one is, this is an example of me experimenting. So I discovered, like, you know, when you're working digitally, you have different types of brushes, which I don't know if people listening know, but when you get the software, it comes with like a preset package of digital brushes. And that's like very limiting. You can make your own, and people don't understand that.
I've never tried.
You can make it. They're very difficult because you have to like take a picture or find something to use as a texture, and then anyways. But so there's companies that their job is to create brushes, and so the ones here are a halftone brush series, and so I discovered these types of brushes, and I use that as my motivation to do a drawing. How can I use halftones in my work? Mm-hmm. And so I created this illustration, which is just a play on football plays, playbook, X and O. So, you know, whenever they write the one team's the X's, the other team's O's, and they put the arrows. And so I literally took the X's and O's, and they're playing football now.
Yeah.
But I also use this as a way to experiment with texture. So I only use halftones to color it, which is... like, it almost goes against everything I do because all my work is so colorful.
Well,
there's no color in this.
No, with that, what you've accomplished there is it looks retro.
Like, yeah, and that was a plan. That was a point, right?
So, funny, yeah. While Nick was scrolling through, that one caught my eye.
Yeah.
Because technically, again, it's really nice. You know, it just works in so many ways. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, so it's just fun. You gotta, cool. But that's the thing is about you have to get away. Step out of your comfort zone sometimes.
Yep.
You can't do the same thing over. You said you can do that. If you're making money doing the same thing over and over again and you're happy doing it, do it. Because making money as an artist is not an easy thing.
No.
So I'm not trying to discourage that. It's just for me, I don't care about that. Mm. I want to do what I want to do today. Tomorrow is going to be different.
But that is what leads to the money. I'm telling you. Like, yeah. I worked years making zero. And then because you're no longer consumed by that, again, it's like what I said earlier, you get fed up at a certain point, at least I did, where I was like, fuck this, you know, enough. I'm not making any money anyway. I'm just going to do what I want.
Yeah.
So when that switched for me, that's when stuff started to line up because you believe in yourself and you believe in your abilities, and money is no longer the thing because you've lived without it. So you're like, I'm just going to draw because I want to, because I'd love to draw.
Yeah.
That's it. Or I love to paint, or I love to sculpt, or I love to sing, whatever it is.
I love this. That's the thing.
Right.
And so, I didn't love what I was doing before.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But I always found there was always joy in the things that I used to do. See, when you
say it like that, it seems pretty simple, doesn't it?
It's but it's scary.
It's scary, but
that's the thing.
It seems so simple.
It's terrifying when you're
oh, yeah.
to like decide that, hey, you're not going to make any money anymore for a while.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's terrifying.
Sure it is. Of course it is.
Because you're worried
about...
You'd
be stupid not to be scared.
Because you're worried about losing what you have.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I don't have, like I said, I don't have a crazy... Mm-hmm. Like, I have everything I need.
Yeah.
I've lived long enough that I've accumulated enough things that I like and need and don't need anything more.
Yeah.
And so I just want to maintain what I have. But it's scary to lose the life that I have sometimes.
Yeah. But again, you've built that up, whereas a lot of people chase it and chase it and chase it. Yeah. It's never enough, so they can't stop what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
They want more, they want more. So the fact you put yourself in that position so now you can focus, man.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Also, like, I'm kind of an all or nothing kind of person.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to give everything I have to one thing, and this is what I'm doing now.
You know? Perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's like taking the hard stuff, the scary stuff is always the best stuff.
Yeah.
That's what leads to growth, and that's what leads to, you know, like, what is that saying? Greater risk, greater reward. Mm-hmm. Not always true, but, yeah, doing the hard things is what is more rewarding.
Yeah, and when you do it enough, it's not as scary.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've done it way too many times. Yeah. So now it's like you almost build up this like resiliency and like, yeah, it's still scary, but you know how to deal with it because you've been to a certain point. Right.
Yeah, I mean, you've been doing this for quite a while. So like you're more in tune with like risk taking and you've taken a lot of risk and you take a lot of chances. I'm sure you've had a lot of rejection along the way and like rejection is scary.
Yeah.
But the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah. You're rejected more than you're...
Well, yeah, of course. Like, probably 90% of the time, you're going to be rejected.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But that people don't want to be rejected one time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I struggle with that, too. It's like, I've never reached out to, like, a coffee shop or anything to put my artwork up because, well, for me, it's just scary to approach the person. And what's the worst they're going to say? No? Like, that's scary to me. Like, I've never done it.
Again, if you're here often in Peterborough, it happens all the time. All the restaurants up and down here.
Yeah.
At Sam's, yeah. So there's Sam's Deli, which is right here. And then there's, I think, Black Honey. This is the best strip for food and, you know, bars, but also super supportive of the arts community.
Yeah, that's cool.
So they're always asking for art. Yeah. There's a brewery in town, Haven Brewery, and they always ask for art, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, just like the act of...
Oh, sure.
Ask, like, for me, I don't, like, ask for help ever.
Yeah.
I do everything on my own. And so for me, like, to go... approach a business, be like, hey, can you display my artwork? It just, to me, it just feels so foreign to ask for help for someone else.
But if you reframe that and it's less about help and more about you want to, like, you already seem like you're pretty confident in your abilities.
Yeah.
So if you walked in there and said, like, you know, you do good stuff, like, what are they going to say? Like you said, the worst is no, but it won't be because your stuff sucks. It'll just be because it's not the right time for them or whatever. But I get that. I do understand that for sure.
Yeah.
It's not an easy one.
Yeah.
Do you want to flip through some more of those? Because those are fun to look at. So like,
hey, here's that one in the muffin. See, so like, this is this is a perfect one of like, it describes me perfectly because I had the song. You know, do you know the Muffin Man?
Stuck
in my head. And I was like, oh, great idea. So a muffin, a humanoid muffin holding muffins. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It's funny. It's weird.
Yeah.
And people ask me about this all the time. Like, what was your inspiration for this? Yeah. Literally had the song Muffin Man stuck in my head.
Yeah.
So I drew it.
And look at that. Look at that person said, I love carrot muffins. Like, you already have one person who's like, I dig this.
Yeah. And then people buy it.
Of course they do.
I know, but it's just funny. Like, I still get shocked when people buy my work for me. When they buy a painting, they're like, you want to buy this? You want to give me the money that you worked hard for for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's such a weird feeling. You know,
there was
like,
a local artist in town. I believe he's passed away. George Eliot. So he was like a icon in town. So when I was in that local art school here, high school, he came in and spoke. And someone asked him how much he made a year or whatever. He goes, oh, I make 100 grand a year. I'd be like, what? And then the other question was, and I couldn't believe someone asked him that. I was like, oh, you asked him how much he makes? And then someone said, you know, how do you know you're a real artist? And he said, when you start selling.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know either, but I've always kind of, sure, but I've always held true. I don't know if I agree either, but I've always held on to that as like almost like a benchmark. Like, hey, if I can start selling stuff, then I know that I'm kind of on to something. And then there's like this momentum that builds from that, right?
Especially when someone, it's because someone's spending money on a thing, right? So it's, I know you don't want to, not you, but in general, like it's difficult to have other people decide your worth. But that's, unfortunately, when you're an artist, that's kind of how it goes. And so, but that's also kind of to your benefit, because if someone buys something for you at this price, now you're subjectively or objectively worth that much.
Yes.
And so that now you're like, yeah, I'm an X number of dollar artist now.
Right.
And that's also motivating, because it shows that people also see value in what you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a weird one, because you don't want to define yourself by how much you're making.
Yeah.
You definitely don't. But as your career kind of evolves, you do start to see that change. And if you start to get in demand, and then, you start to think, the business end of it, like, oh man, I gotta start like adjusting my prices here maybe, and like, because you can't stay static.
You have
to always be like,
it's not sustainable,
shifting, and it's not sustainable if you want growth. Like,
you can't crank out like 50 paintings a week.
No, and if you do, the price has to match. So hey, you want 50 paintings, this is the price.
But also, like, for me, that's why I offer prints, because I want my art to be accessible.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I hold on to my paintings and I price them at the way that I price them, because that's the value that they're worth to me. And I, just because they don't sell doesn't mean that they're not worth that. It's just, it's just, it doesn't matter for me to hold on to them. It didn't cost me a lot to make them.
Yeah.
And, but I want to offer prints because I also want people to enjoy my artwork at an affordable price.
Yeah.
You know, like, I offer prints for like at my markets for as low as $5. You know, just miniature ones. And I even have like 4-year-old kids buying them sometimes.
See, isn't that nice?
You know, like, I just want it to be open and accessible, when I find a lot of art is not, is not accessible to most people.
See, that's super important too, especially when you talk about kids and like, you know, them, the physical act of them going up to, maybe it's their allowance, and they take it and they put it next to their bed and they look at it every day, and then maybe the wheels start turning and they're like, maybe I want to do this. You don't know. Like, so by you offering that and making it accessible, you know, it's so valuable.
On my website, I even offer a lot of my paintings as coloring book pages.
Yeah.
So I've taken all the color out of them and I redrew all the line work to be very chunky, and and they're all printable PDFs.
That's
now.
Wicked. So Kevin, who does this work up here, he does the same thing. He sells his coloring books.
Yeah.
So you can color in all those things.
That's cool.
Right?
Yeah. So like, I just put a section for free stuff, if you see there at the top.
Oh, nice.
And they're free. They're just, they're actual printable 8x10 PDFs.
Is great.
And I don't bring them to my markets anymore, because I got tired of carrying them around and offering them to kids. You know, like, do your kids color? I don't know what kids do anymore. But I like to, I want to provide the option for kids to do it.
Most kids do.
Yeah.
I think they still like to color.
Yeah. So I just took them, and, you know, like, this was extra work for me, but it just, it's fun for me to, for people to have my artwork in their home. That's why I get the postcards for free. Cause I just, it's fun for me. It's fun for me to like brighten someone's day with something like this postcard I have here. Like, you know, I made this one called "Being Human is Tough. You're Doing Great."
But, yeah, I love that one.
So I offer this for free at my at my markets, because times are tough. And, you know, like, I just want people to, I want people to be happy. And so, like, this is the kind of stuff I do, because it brings people, like, I've had people message me saying, like, this postcard is on my bulletin board and it actually brings me a lot of joy. You know, like what a nice feeling.
The monkey business. This one here. Which I love, because it's, the monkey has a, like, a gray beard.
Yeah.
So almost like he's been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to work.
He's seasoned.
He's slogging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one, which is the...
Yeah, Zoo City.
Zoo City.
That one's based off of, in Kingston, we have a sign where you can stand and you're the eye.
Oh, right.
So that was, I kind of wanted to create something a little bit more local for the city, but
yeah,
not Kingston only related. So that's why I made Zoo City.
So Zoo City. So it's like, he got like this monkey, these two monkeys, and like one guy's like posing.
Yeah, he's the eye in the picture.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like, you know, that's the thing about art is it's supposed to be fun. There's the rabbit there on the left, the rabbit abduction. So that's the one I did part of a giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually really disappointed to give that painting away because I made no mistakes when I painted it. So it was like a culmination of like all this abilities and skills that I've learned over the years in this one painting. And it just came out perfect. Like I use airbrush because I airbrush sometimes.
Oh,
and
that's cool.
That's like that's the digital version. But that beam of light, I use airbrush to create the effect. It's just like spray paint but it's just...
I've never tried airbrush. Yeah. I just started getting into spray paint, but that's beautiful.
Yeah. Airbrush is very much... I wish it had a lot more cover, but it's just about... Get that nice... Well, that nice, hazy, misty feel, right? It's difficult to get with paint.
Yeah, and what I love, which is what you're doing here too, is you have those really nice lines mixed with that faded effect.
Yeah.
I just love that
thanks.
Look.
Yeah, thanks.
It looks so nice.
Yeah, so I was like really disappointed to give it away, but the girl who got it was like so happy. And so for me, that's cool.
You're like,
and
all right.
And I get, but now what's great about it is I got a print out of it.
Yeah.
And I can sell it. So,
yeah.
You know, but I'm all about giving stuff away. Like,
so do you get, because of what will happen to me is I'm done a piece. And then, especially, I try not to, if I look at it, you know, a year or two down the road, I'm like, oh God. But almost sometimes immediately after, I'm like, oh, they're so, are you like a bad, you're like your own worst critic kind of thing?
No, you just
kind of let it go?
Because I've already done my work in digitally. Mm-hmm. When I do the painting, it's like, it's almost like I have a lot of resistance because it's like I've already done the work.
Right.
So now I'm doing it again.
Right.
And so, but when I do a painting, it's like, it's identical to what I did digitally. So so when I finish, I step back and I'm like, oh, cool. I love it. And then it's like, okay. And then it goes on the shelf and what's next? And then I don't even look at it again.
Yeah.
It's weird. I get this like sense of completion.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied.
Yes. And then it can go.
But then it's just like, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want my paintings to leave my house. I don't want to see them again.
Yeah. I've spoken about this before too on the podcast where, you know, I don't get romantic about my stuff at all. Like I'll do it. And which makes me so much yourself probably too. It's like, we don't, get attached to these things. We're more like, it's more like a commercial art kind of end.
Well, I mean, I do care about them. You know, like I don't want to let them go sometimes.
Yeah.
But when I'm done them, they're done.
Yeah.
I'm not just sitting back and I'm like, it's, I don't know, it's weird. It's like,
I'll have some like that too, where I just want to like, no, I really like this one. There's one up here that I did for an event that I have hanging up and I'm like, yeah, technically you see things in it that, I'm like, I have to hold on to this. It's almost perfect.
Yeah.
Which rarely happens. Right. Yeah.
but also when you're the thing with painting and being an artist is that you're like, you're involved with your work the entire time for quite a while sometimes.
Yeah.
And you're like deep into it. You're really like inches away sometimes.
Yeah.
And so when you're trying to sell it or market it or whatever, people don't realize the amount of work that went into it or the like, you know, you might've been like very stressed out trying to get it done and you might've struggled a lot. So there's a lot of feeling and emotion in just the act of doing the painting.
Yeah.
Forget about the idea, just the physical manual labor of doing painting.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're selling it, people just see the final product. They don't know anything else that went into it.
No.
They don't know what was involved. They don't know all the skill. They don't know anything about it.
No.
Right? It's just a finished product.
Yeah. And you almost, obviously you can't expect them to understand.
No.
You just take the, you know, the fact that they're just going to look at it and be like, oh, well, you know, that's cool. And you just hope that that's the reaction.
Yeah. But I think also sometimes with like selling artwork, you have to, which I've learned is that you're also trying to sell the experience, right? Not just the physical thing, because physical thing just exists as a thing.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to create, maybe create a story behind it, or you have to show it off in a way that is like, oh yeah, I could totally see myself looking at this every morning.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I love, because I do a lot of live painting at corporate events.
Oh yeah.
And I love that aspect of it, like people seeing it happen in front of them.
That's cool, yeah.
And they enjoy that end of it. And then they're like, oh my God, like you just did that just now. And that kind of reaction is neat, right?
Yeah, I have that reaction with, there's so many more talented artists in the world than me.
Same.
That I see the technique. Yeah. Sometimes, like this guy, he does.
Yeah.
He does. I don't remember his name, but he does like bone, like as if it's an X-ray. So he does spray paint work that looks like X-rays of like bones.
Oh, there's a guy Nichos.
I don't know if it's.
So, yeah. But he does. So, he's really well known, and he does like cross sections of. He just did one of Jaws, like the movie poster.
Yeah.
And it's Jaws coming up, and if you look him up, Nick. So it's NYCHOS. I think he has almost 1 million followers. Oh, yeah. He just did a collab with Marvel. Mm. So it's NYCHOS. There he is.
Yeah, so we're just talking about like the technique. So like I watched the technique of him spray painting, and just the way his hand moves, he's been doing it for so long that it's like, this looks so easy.
I know.
But if I even attempted it, I wouldn't even understand.
Spray paint is a wild
just like,
one.
Yeah,
it's just the Wild West.
Oh wow.
See, there cool. it is there.
That's cool.
So the guy's really well known.
Exploded view.
Yeah. But there's one there of Venom, if you go back. There he is there. So he had a collab with Marvel. So to do like a
spray paint?
That's Carnage. I don't know how he does his stuff, actually.
Like Copic markers or something?
I'm not sure. I'm not even sure.
Yeah.
But I follow a few artists. I don't follow a ton because I'm easily influenced. So I
have the same feeling about it.
So I just try to keep focused on what I'm doing.
I don't want to accidentally copy someone.
Yeah, right. There's that too.
I would feel terrible about it.
There's that too.
Because I don't want to do the same thing that other people are doing.
No. You want to at least try to be as unique as possible, but in your own way, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
What's the giveaway?
Oh, I'm doing the 30 days giveaway. So every day, like today is day 12. I'm giving away 2 prints every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so I just film a video every morning in different and weird ways,
mm-hmm.
just to showcase 2 prints, and I'm giving them away. So I want to give away my entire catalog of prints for the month.
That's great.
Yeah. And then like I haven't fully decided, you know, I don't like to make full on huge commitments or goals, but I think it'd be cool to do like challenge myself to do an illustration every day for the year and then do a giveaway every day of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause it's such a low cost really like,
oh yeah. When you're doing
to give, it's such a low cost.
Yeah.
But I've had people who've been getting my prints are just so excited to get something.
Oh, of course.
And so it's such a cool.
Yeah. And to be selected, I've done it a couple times and they're like, what? Like,
yeah.
I won.
So it's cool.
I never win anything.
It's a fun feeling to be able to share that with people. Like, I'm happy to.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'm happy to give stuff away. Yeah.
And then there's more art in the world.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it gets better than that. Like, you're just doing it because you want your stuff out there.
Yeah. So, like, all the double prints you've been seeing, that's all the prints I've been giving away. So far.
Yeah.
And I'm giving them all away. So I give 2 prints out every day and 2 different winners. And so it's just, it's cool.
So for digital, do you work with Procreate?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's so simple.
Isn't it amazing?
I tried the Autodesk whatever one. It was a free one. I don't remember what it was called, but it Procreate. Was just confusing. And
no, they have it figured out. I use it for all my digital stuff.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
It's just so satisfying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like you said, with the brushes, like I've tried to incorporate some of them and you can get some wild effects.
Yeah.
Like you can get some cool things happening in there.
Yeah. Digital painting is, and I would say, yes, technically it is easier than painting in person,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't mean that you're going to get something nice, right?
No.
You have to be talented.
It's
enough.
A tool. It's a tool.
Yeah.
And so what I have noticed though, is I'll take my learning from digital and then I go to do a canvas piece and I feel like I'm better.
Yeah, because you practiced it.
Like I'm better equipped to like deal with the actual physical material.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
Yeah, it is.
I
cool.
thought it would be the other way around. Like I didn't think it would work.
Yeah. Well, like because I have an airbrush, digital brush.
Yeah.
And so when I have a painting that I know I'm going to use an airbrush,
mm-hmm.
the act of using that digital airbrush brush and because it's a technique, right? It's the hand motion and everything and, you know, the opacity and,
yeah.
It's about building up your layers. So every time I'm doing my digital drawing, I'm preparing myself. I'm practicing my painting. So the airbrush is literally like I'm using an airbrush brush.
It's like because, you know? Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. It's like we're becoming different animals, I swear, because technology introduced into the arts now, we're becoming something different. Artists are becoming something different.
Yeah.
It's no longer just traditional materials. You know, when I graduated art school, it was.
Yeah.
but now, you can work things in so many different ways. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
And what do you think about AI painting now? Have you seen much of that?
So I've seen, I definitely have seen some of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know, 10 years, I'm out of a job.
Yeah.
But no, like there is a cool place for that, I think, down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think those things will weave itself naturally into what we do. There's always going to be a place for like humans creating art.
Yeah.
I think there always will be.
Well, it's because there's a human behind it, right?
And like
people like to know who they're buying from.
Yes.
That's also important.
Oh yeah. They want to know like this came from somebody who people respect the fact that you've taken time to learn this skill, right? Like you've taken time to really understand how to do it. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, because people can appreciate it, right? That's the thing. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, like someone who's like a woodworker who's been doing it forever. I don't know what like the certification name is, but like a master woodworker. Or something.
Yeah.
Like anybody can build a table. You know, you can just screw some pallet wood together and you got a table.
Yep.
But you see some of the joinery that people do, like dovetail and
all
these amazing types of joinery. And you're just like, my God, that's skill and time involved. And so you have to appreciate like, the amount of work that went into it.
That stuff blows my mind.
But then you have like, unfortunately, you have like something like IKEA furniture where it costs $200 to get a dresser.
Yeah.
And then now the guy who was doing the woodworking before creating these beautiful pieces, like people are like, well, I'm not spending $1,000 on a dresser. It's like, yeah, I understand, but
look,
you're buying a particle board piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now like, because of all this mass produced stuff, it devalues the other artists.
Yes.
Because of like this product exists
and
it's at this price.
Well, I think that's why we're seeing a turn now. We've done it ourselves. We'll go to Restore and like all these places to get like these old, well-made pieces.
Yeah.
Right. And you just fill your head because you're so sick of looking at all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You're so sick of looking at the prefab stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much good stuff out there that people just don't realize.
Oh yeah.
Cause all you need is like, I guess not everyone has a creative eye.
Yeah.
And so you can't, like, some people can look at a room and know exactly how they're going to design it and where the what furniture they're going to put in there, where the cabinets are going to go.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't do that. I can't look at that.
That's not
visually, I can't see it.
No, that's not my strong suit either. Yeah. You'd think as an artist, I'd be able to, like, be like, oh, this, you know, no, I can't do that.
Like, I need physical things. Like, working, and it's funny, too, because, like, working digitally, like, say I was going to do, like, drawing a house or, I don't know, choosing furniture or something. It's like, I can't. It's just overwhelming and I can't process that information.
Yeah.
And like, even like, like my sister will ask me to build or something and she'll like draw out a whole sketch and everything. And it's just like, I don't even know how to look at that sketch. Like,
it's like a different language, build
the thing.
Right?
I just build the thing just based off what I have in my head. And I can't look at a plan.
So you're good at that kind of thing? Like you can build, like you get a build.
Like I can build furniture and like, you know, I do like all my hobbies are like physical stuff. Like I know how to weld, I know woodworking.
Yeah. Well, I guess considering where you've come from as well.
Yeah.
But
no, I took up welding as a, just for fun. I bought a $200 welder on Amazon cause I wanted to try welding.
Yeah.
And now I can weld. It's not complicated, but it's just people are afraid to try it.
Are you thinking like sculpture or are you just cause?
Well, I have a piece actually. Yeah. If you scroll way far down, so I use like wire art. I don't do a lot of it, mind you, because steel is expensive.
Yeah.
So I don't do a lot of welding, but I'd love to do more. You'll see, it'll be a T-Rex head.
It's fun just looking at these go. There we go.
So this one is just steel rod that I bent and I welded it in the shape, and then I just took a full sheet of plywood, a thin sheet of plywood, laid my wire mesh down, traced out my design, and so the wood grain is continuous throughout the whole piece.
Yeah,
but it's just welded steel, so like I can't go and weld like pressure fitted pipes. I can't do that because that's like a lot of training, and yeah, your welds need to pass a certain certification. But like hobby welding, it's like literally just taking a clamp, putting it on your metal, putting two pieces of metal together, and then you just change your voltage and your wire feed speed.
Right.
And you're just like touching the metal and it welds. So it's like there's so many cool things that you could be trying, a lot of fun hobbies that just might be a little bit cost prohibitive, or you're not really sure where to start, or you're kind of you're afraid, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to just jump into it and try it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. More people should be, you know, trying these things, and you never know what can come from them, right?
Yeah.
You touch something new, like you pick up something like this to do welding, and who knows?
Yeah. But this is what I like to do. Like, this is my favorite thing to do, just make things.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. I've made furniture before, like I said, and I weld projects, you know.
That's great.
Like, this is probably the third thing I ever welded.
Yeah.
But I just figured it out. I just took wire and I bent it.
So did you just take the sections? Is that all one piece?
What do you mean?
Or did you weld all those pieces?
So I would take the top left section, and then I would create that whole entire shape.
Okay.
With a wire, steel rod.
Yeah.
And I would just bend it into the shape that I needed it. Then I would weld the ends shut.
Yeah.
And then I would add to the next piece, and then I would lay it all out and connect them with other smaller pieces.
Amazing.
the teeth are all just individual little Vs.
Yeah.
That I welded to that bottom part.
Yeah.
And then I just cut the wood after. So it's like, I like to do this kind of stuff that doesn't matter, you know, like it's just about doing the thing.
Yeah.
If there's something I want to try and do, chances are I'm going to go figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And if I don't know how, like, especially when people ask me for help all the time, how to do things, they fix things or.
Right.
And I always tell them.
I'd be one of those guys.
Yeah. It's a good, I like being able to be that guy though.
Yeah.
Like, I know, yeah, you just got to learn to say no sometimes. Right. But I like that I have the ability to do these things. I can fix things. And
I have a friend like that. He's like, really, Jason, again? Come on.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's like, and there's something that somebody wants me to fix or make for them. And I always say, like, if I don't know how to do it, well, I'm going to go figure out how.
Right.
Because it's just so simple to me. With the internet, you go on YouTube. You don't know how to do something, you go on YouTube. And it's not hard to figure out how to do anything anymore.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's just changed learning all around.
Yeah.
You can find anything you want.
Yeah. So it's like, I just learned how to weld by going on the internet.
Yeah.
And then trying it.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, I think it was like a $200 welder I got on Amazon.
Yeah.
And now I've done all this cool shit with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And even then, you don't need to buy the thing to try it. Like, you just need to figure out, look up online for a workshop or.
Yeah.
People are always happy to learn to teach things. There's so many cool workshops and classes out there that, you know, like, you just need to make the time or make the decision that, hey, I'm going to go try the thing. That's the hard part.
It's a good time to be alive, that's for sure, for the arts and just learning in general. I mean, I almost feel like the whole school system, the way it's working now is like, it seems pretty archaic. Like, there's lots of, not that you want to sit your kid in front of YouTube, but learning is so much different now.
Yeah. Well, like during COVID, I mean, you said you have kids, so.
Sure.
That was tough to sit in front of a computer. I remember it.
Yeah.
I could think about myself at that age.
Yeah.
And would I be able to sit in front of a computer watching a course? No, I can't even do that now.
No. And to ask a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, come on. Like, all they want is the social aspect.
Yeah.
They want to be there with the kids. Yeah. That was the hardest part to see, for sure.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's crazy.
That's good. Really good stuff, man.
Yeah,
So why don't you tell everybody your socials and your website and how they can reach out if they want some of your stuff?
Yeah, they can check me out just at alexold.ca, and then my Instagram is just alexold. You know, I know as finally anytime somebody asks my name, I say Alex Old, and they have to repeat it. Alex Old.
Yeah.
Because it's such an uncommon name. You know, I say, you know, Alex Old, not old, but not young, but old.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you hit my age, you'd be like, all right.
Yeah. I even had someone come to my market. And I have a sign on my tent that says Alex Old Art and Design.
Right.
And some guy came up to my tent and he said, yeah, you should change your sign.
So old art?
He says old art. Yeah, man, like, that's my name. Like,
yeah.
That's such a...
That's...
Anyways, it was just like...
Oh, that's too funny.
It was just like, that's my... Yeah, I don't want to have...
Move along, buddy.
I don't want to have, like, an artist name. I want my name.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, like, some artists, they just go by whatever. Like, Banksy, you know?
Right, yeah.
I don't know if that's his last name or not, but...
I don't either.
That's his That's his name.
Yeah,
that's an artist name. I think it'd be kind of weird for me to have an artist name.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, my God. Just one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just tell him, like I said, move along, buddy.
Yeah.
You want new art, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you coming on. And, like, hey, if you're, like I said, back in town and you want to show with the Arts Collective.
Yeah, definitely.
Then you just hit me up and cool. Make it happen.
Yeah, appreciate
it. But really great to meet you.
Yeah, it's been fun talking.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in the next one, which we're shooting half hour. Okay, bye.
Bye.
We here at the JWF Podcast wish you and yours the very best of days ahead.